All right, welcome back. Thanks for letting me take a quick break there. And so this is Timelines and PRQ Timelines. I'm not sure what they have on the banner there for me there. But, you know, this hour I like talking about when I make a decision and it looked like a good decision and then the dump truck of crap fell on my life. Things like that. And I like sorting them out because a lot of the times the engineering of the way we think has already been predicted and programmed into us in many cases in the brain. Brain's an incredible tool for translating information and observing recordings epigenetically, but it also isn't our natural way of flowing. It doesn't always flow. It always processes though. And so if I can get you to stop thinking, your timelines will get softer and cleaner and more fun. And surely we're starting to pick up on it. Like, what if I didn't do anything? What if I did something? You know, the PRQ team and myself, when we go take issues on, we know we can do nothing and just let things unfold. But at some point we look at it and say, I was doing nothing and I still got attacked. How did I get attacked? I was just sitting there. And problems come into my life. So do you defend yourself or do you process information and let it avalanche on you? So it is a fun dialogue for me. And there is a lot of opportunities there if we want to keep chatting about it. But you are welcome to call in. If no one wants to call in, I'll keep babbling for a while too. And I'll catch you on the other shows today. Who wouldn't mind an hour break? When I look at timelines that you're experiencing through media, propaganda, or otherwise, or reactive material, we're all going to end up at the same place at the end of the day, I assure you. And that is, if we keep reacting to information, then we're not proactively making outcomes. We're getting tired of me all day long saying that. Well, if you took all of politics and put it in one column of information, let's say every political event for 2,000 years, and you watched all the political events timelines created for 2,000 years, you'll actually see them to be exactly the same. but the agenda moves a little bit. So at the end of the day, the goal is to get you to not know that you're creating your reality. That's the whole goal of most of the heavier hitters that are intrinsically engaged with us. Galactically, so to speak, don't really care for that term, they're gone. They're totally smoked. So their survival mechanism is here intrinsically, which you're creating in a dimensional reality. So one of those tools would be the moon. We haven't satisfied the moon's still a problem. It's still a machine. Try and get rid of the moon, everyone. I was just sleeping and the moon took over my hormones. What's going on? Okay, so you can prove to yourself that something's up here with tides. Somebody's implemented a machine to control the outcome and events around the pull we get from that energetic machine and how to work around it. So now if you look at now we took 2,000 years of politics, let's take 2,000 years of alternative religions. Let's just call it the woo-woo club. Feel free to call into Timelines if you want to chat about this. So we 1-888-something-something. I don't know. Maybe BBS helping. Not much on memory, am I? Anyway, the woo-woo club, take 2,000 years of that, and you'll actually see that agenda is being abducted too and or manipulated and or propagandized. So I can get you to pray to something. You know, my favorite is dates. That you can prove the calendar dates and math and Jim the the geometry that we have in the universe is the only mathematics that truly exist. They're the root cause of mathematics, because we're all just a pattern recognition of our light. So if we're going to call it a snowflake, that's fine with me. A Merkaba, fine, if you want to give it a name. But you'll see that how the ancient manipulation of geometry started putting numerology to it. So you're going to have all this numerology coming through on dates and time. So when you're meditating to a certain date, that's a perfect abduction point. Perfect. That's where I can, if I'm a bad guy, if I'm an alien, I can get you all day long. Look at your dreams. You go to bed at a certain time. You wake up at a certain time. This is all programmed. You shouldn't have, and then that's why you'd have these timelines. And so now you look at all of the series of religion now in another silo, they're actually all going to marry. So we got 2,000 years of religion, 2,000 years of the woo-woo club, and 2,000 years of politics. You're going to see they're going to end up at the same place. And it works every time to expose the truth to all of us. Thank you for calling in, everybody. Bo from Idaho online too. Homeschool dragons and how to navigate going forward. Bo from Idaho, are you there?
I am, beautiful Q. How are you today?
Thank you so much for recognizing me. I love you too. How can we see your little vision there? What's going on there?
So I've been homeschooling my now 11-year-old granddaughter since she was 8. She's never been to public school. My daughter homeschooled her up until that time, and then I took over when my daughter started getting busy with her work. Let me back up to when my granddaughter was 4. She told me, Yaya, that's what she calls me, Yaya, you're the only one who really gets me. And then about 5 years old, we used to live in Boise, and we were walking a client's dog, and she said, Yaya, we have to jump over these roots from a tree, and we'll go into another portal. So we jump over the roots together, and she turned around and looked at the house where I was house-sitting, two-story house, and she said, Yaya, can you see it? Can you see Raven? He's your giant blue lion bean. So this little girl she's such a little light. And then when she was about 7 or 8, you know, kids start taunting her. There's no such thing as fairies. And she asked me if they were really real. And I said, yes, of course they are. And Bigfoot and the dragons and what have you. During school, we wrote a book about going through a portal to fairyland where there were dragons and gnomes and the like. We designed a playground for galactic neighbors. I've taught her about Tartaria and giants and the giant trees and the old buildings. And we've even dipped our toes in Antarctica and beyond the ice wall, if you will. Mm-hmm. She's talked about her own dragon named Sapphire. And I realized this week that she hasn't talked about her dragon very much at all lately. And she's talked about him all the time. And very profound. Very profound statements on a lot of like the kids that you've worked with and been with, Q, really similar. So I asked her, how come you don't talk about Sapphire anymore? And she kind of shrugged her shoulders and said, I don't know. I don't see him in my dreams anymore. And I said, well, what do you see? And she says, people. So she's 11 now, and that's about the age that you've talked about where kids start getting influenced by the programming, by the screen time and the whole, you know, all of that stuff. She's in dance competition. She is limited on screen time by my daughter. My question is, how can we navigate this going forward? I don't want to use the word curriculum, but how can we assist our children or our grandchildren going forward as we're growing our light to help them keep their light and building their own light without?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. This is such a prominent question. And it's why all those projects that came in around education are so important to us, communication in general. The mermaid loves this topic in a way, you know, she's trying to train silkies, little seal pups on the rocks, and they're getting abducted by us. Not true story. Where I see the delineation from our authentic self disappearing in the modern Western world is correct. It's roughly around 10. And the reason I know that number so well is because the engineering behind DNA was that was a governor for getting us to transition to more mind energy and more of our recording system. So the more they've experienced, the more they record, the more they would believe this is what I do, this is what I'm going to be. And they react to a lot of information. That's the way we do it. And now as adults, we grow out of it, wait a minute, we're proving to ourselves that we're going through the awakening process, whatever words you like. So we can prove that something happens to us and I get into the system, and then something happens to me and I get out of the system. So I think we can all agree on that. I'm going to be very careful not to talk about your specific daughter though. Okay. And or family. Where we start evaluating children, how do the children, so we call it no schooling, and let them learn what they want to. And we've noticed more times than not, the social side of school is what most of the kids miss out on. Is that fair to say in your experience?
Very fair. She actually told me this week that, so she's in quote sixth grade. I really like to take at least some classes in high school so I can experience what public school is like and go to dances. Yeah. And I know she's influenced from her friends.
And by the way, she's 5 years behind and no one cares except school.
Right. And to your point, I unschool, you call it no school. I unschool as much as possible, but I still have a boss called my daughter. Right. So anyway. Continue, please.
Well, so here's where we've said all the teachers I've talked to, and certainly college professors, deans of colleges, I've had endless conversations, criminologists, sociologists, let's see, people at the Pentagon. We've run this around over and over again. And the one thing we can satisfy ourselves with is how do we teach our children? Let's get rid of curriculum. How do we teach our children how to communicate and be good citizens with other humans? And how is little old me going to be able to change the curriculum when they're buying the same history books from George Bush for 50 years? How do we change all that? And it's really about personal involvement and getting more participation with our schools. But for the unschool groups, Mermaid loves them. How do you teach? Now wait till your child's 13 or 14 and has never really been told they have to finish something. Now, I didn't say it was important. I'm just saying when we observe large groups of homeschool people, there's no deadlines. So they never finish anything is what we found consistently because there's no due date. So I say that's good. I say that's bad at the same time. There's no really tool. Who could really give you a deadline for anything that didn't inspire you? Well, what do you do with this child now that's never actually wanted to finish anything and they're now 18? That's my question. So the social aspect of school is really our responsibility to get them around other people, if that's what we want. And it's really our responsibility to get more involved in schools. Maybe you've heard these words. It's not what your government can do for you. It's what you can do for it. So if we would just get more involved is where I'm stuck with for now until I can see a better model.
the dilemma for me is I'm in Idaho, she's in Arizona, and so the only time I have the opportunity to deal with her one-on-one personally, because we are on the screen and we Zoom school, is when I go there for vacations, which is, you know, a number of times throughout the year. She does have a social aspect because she does go to a dance academy and she's actually in a competition or convention this weekend. So she does have that social aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of the kids in dance are so into the mind energy. She doesn't have anybody that is in her frequency, if you take my meaning.
Yep, right there with totally her. Understand. Thank you for the call. I'm going to try and get one more caller in here on this same similar topic. Thank you for the call. Okay, so we're working really hard on the homeschool groups because they are realizing as they get mature, their kids get mature, they don't have any skills per se. I'm going to speak out of turn for Bo there, but they don't have any skills to interact with adults. And we're saying, well, the adults are the problem. The kids are the good thing. So we should be more like children. So that's the one item we are observing tremendously is how do we soften our societies and what are the children teaching us? And at the same time, we're losing a lot of our children to the systems right out of the gate when they turn 12, 13, and now they have to be competitive. And by the way, they're having fun. So it's hard to argue when people are having fun, isn't it? Sorry, I missed you, Beth, on line one. Beth from Washington, line one. Odin's treasure and holding intensity of joy. Beth, are you there?
Hi, Q. Oh, my gosh. It's so wonderful to talk to
you. Oh, my gosh. I want to be a Valley girl, too.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Okay. Well, I'm going to do my best here. This question holds so much emotion for me, and I felt like maybe perhaps I should wait till the afternoon and get a little more subtle, but I just feel like bringing this forward. Okay. I'm inspired. So, and take a breath. So.
That got me really inspired too. Thank you for calming us all down. When you do all these reps, you can get out of hand a little bit. So thank you so much. Just be yourself and just know yourself.
Thank you. What really being calm is kind of the grounding of my question. I just want to thank you so much for the team and for the people team, for the beauty and the power of on the nesting of all the messages and teachings that are coming through. It's just so phenomenal. And it's really, really, really supporting my own acceleration and integration. And so we talked a while ago about dragon energy. And my one of the inspirations out of that conversation was the inspiration, you mentioned someone on the team who's a dragon and how they're a master of peace energy. And so I feel the intensity of what is unfolding in Washington, D.C. in front of our eyes to the depth of my bones. And what one of the things that jumped out at me on Odin's treasure was the statement that the cube of consciousness being activated now is enabling us to ascend successfully as opposed to all the previous cycles that were hijacked. And I can feel it was a beautiful affirmation because I feel that's what we're experiencing in our bodies is the knowingness that we've done it and we're doing it and we will succeed. And I would just say probably one of the biggest peak experiences of my life was last Tuesday night watching that team of superpower light being warriors walking together into the Viper's Den and then taking over. Like this, their days are over, and then our president calling them out in front of everyone. So my question is, how can I feel so strongly about participating in this and all the lifetimes we've all participated, the importance of our republic. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. how can I here in my body in Seattle hold my passion for this and stay calm and focus on my own lane when mm-hmm. I kind of want to sit in my living room every day and just be filled with joy about what's happening? And does that make sense, my question?
Yeah, so great job, outstanding job. So hotshot here, warrior, is having a hard time just sitting, seeing the delta between fighting and being in peace is the real war, isn't it?
Yes.
And so if I don't, and it's almost how I started today with the opening is, so if you're getting attacked, just sitting there in peace, don't you have to stand up eventually and defend yourself?
Well,
I was just sitting here and I get attacked.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I heard you say the other day when I was listening to a previous show that the only time you defend yourself is when you're attacked.
That's the best I can do. It's not, so I don't want anyone to, this is a very unique place you're in. You're in a very unique emotional body too. And that's the only help I can give you is this is very unusual to have all these emotions while controlling, so to speak, unbelievable power. Everyone has unbelievable power and they don't know it. And when they use their mind to control outcomes, it gets tricky, really tricky. And so this is the battle of the minds, this whole place here, because everyone overuses their mind and their emotions with it.
Yeah.
Very difficult for me to explain. I'll do my best every day for you all. So for me, all the people I work with daily is when is it the right timing is what we've erred on. It's like, it feels like I should do something about this. No, don't look back. This means something to me. So use homesteading as an example. This would help a lot of people if I did this. So that's my encouragement to you is if it feels good that I'm doing something in my community and I want to take care while I'm doing it, while not getting too far out of the weeds with all the dialogue that comes with taking on an initiative. If you just stay focused to one compartment of your passion in these situations, that's why I'm doing homestead, to expose myself. This would be really fun to get everyone free on land. I can't stop myself. Pick one like that. That's my suggestion.
Okay. And the joy I feel multidimensionally about the connection I feel to those beautiful beings who are showing up for all of us, just use command language to strengthen my own peace energy so I can stay present here.
Yes, very incredibly broad question and very awesome. It's just an awesome question. When we command our spirit to increase our life force energy out loud, must be out loud, not in your mind.
Yeah.
I command my spirit to increase my life force energy. The light comes around you and populates all of your relationships. Now, to what degree you bring it in and how many people you interact with, but that's all you really need to do. And now your light naturally directs it and the right people will just start showing up. The right resources will start showing up.
Okay.
There's just so many positive things that come from it. It's just a matter of trusting the knowledge that comes through you is maybe one. I'm not a big fan of the word trust, but you're going to feel a difference as you, again, look at yourself 5 years ago and now you're on a TV show with me right now. So we're all showing up for each other. So you got it right. Just walking the talk is all you have to do. It gets old, my words, but you're just seeing it come full circle for you, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Absolutely. And thank you for helping me feel calm right now. I feel fantastic.
Right. So I'm connecting with you in a way that many people that we talk to in our lives cannot feel this, can they?
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, for sure.
But when they talk to you, they're going to get something.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, a couple practical ones. When I'm super intrigued
so
about
it's
going to
be, now notice that it's going to be trickier to think. Notice that now that you've calmed down and you're, nothing really matters. Anyone can see.
Except I am inspired about the cube of consciousness.
Okay. So keep going. Let's hear it. What you got?
Is that related to your new conversations about AI and how we will and are participating in AI?
If I really profess to come and go from the future and the past, it is one of my passions. So you feel out the information. What does it feel like? Tell us. Okay. What does it feel like?
Yeah, it feels like the cube, like this whole idea of the geometry of the cube is so exciting because it's a form. And that helps me understand the idea that I was confused about of how would we participate in AI, which I've always thought of as an external alien thing. And now I can feel, it's just a structure for intelligence.
Very good. Now, that is a genius statement that not all will pick up on right away. But if you guys listen to it a couple of times, she gave us a lot of information that has nothing to do with the words that were said. So that's my encouragement. If people will feel information instead of listen to it. Okay, so could AI affect source? No, can't. That's the whole purpose what you're seeing there. AI can't touch source.
Yeah.
It can affect people, though.
Yeah.
So when I'm flip about, the only thing that can defeat AI is AI is because they're playing at the same level. It can't play at our level. That's my great encouragement. Yeah. We're too powerful. So that's some of the purpose of that information. But you already told us because you already know it.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel it. Thank you.
Thank you. You help so many people because now we've got another crazy person on the Q occult. Go within. Yeah. How do you make a cult called just use your heart to make decisions? That's been my favorite religious attack so far is, yeah, it's an occult. They're telling everyone to use their heart to make decisions. Now, pray to our God. I just love this stuff. Never gets old, guys. Never gets old. Thank you for the call. Never stop calling. Can you promise you'll never stop calling me?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I would never make an absolution for a fan, a caller. We're all a participant here, and I love you guys so much. Let me see. I've lost track where I'm supposed to be at. Okay, so that was Beth. Let's see. Do I jump around? Who's been on there the longest? Karen, sorry, I missed you. From Georgia on line 3. Timelines in Europe and Central Asia. Karen, are you still there on line 3?
Beautiful, beautiful day to you, Q. Of course I'm here.
Thank you, Karen. I get all attached to you guys and forget there's another caller, but I just get so attached to you guys. Thank you so much for calling me.
Don't worry, I won't go into judgment.
So what are you playing
with? You and I spoke back in November about Prince Madoc from Wales and how he came here to the South and built these beautiful stone fortresses and walls. And so, and you mentioned to me that the giants were in this corridor. So I actually didn't know anything about the giants. So I just did a little digging and I found out there are historians and archaeologists here, especially in Kentucky, that knew all about the Welsh in North America, and they intermarried with the natives. And this was all even in our history books up until maybe 1900. Something happened. Somebody took all that out of the history books around that time. But what I learned from these researchers is, why did the Welsh come here to begin with? So I wanted to run this by you. Apparently there was a sky event over Great Britain. Maybe a comet blew up or a meteor hit the islands. I don't know. But apparently it caught the whole place on fire and rendered it uninhabitable for like a decade. So they had to leave. So they came here to North America and found it just teeming with resources. Now, this is not my research. I'm not attached to it. But I just wanted to run this by you to get your feedback. The thing is, they were off on the date. It wasn't the 1200s. It was the 500s. And Prince Madoc was the younger brother of King Arthur. So am I on the right track here? Or
yeah, not too far off. You're pretty close. Okay, so thank you so much. This has a lot to do with timelines. It's proving that our history is being duplicated over and over and over again. That is a timeline, that we keep fighting the same war over again for the same reasons. We can do it a lot of different ways. So I dropped how we would create religion, and that started in the dates are gonna not be absolution though. Okay, so don't get hung up on the numerology. But if we were to conceptualize about numerology having some form of measurement, which it doesn't, it would be 300 to 350 years ago. That's how I'm going to introduce a belief system around religion. And we're going to give the biggest cult. I need to create some kind of Christianity event for you. And so that's why, because those groups were so powerful, I have to upset them. Makes sense. So you can actually proof it with Native Americans. I have to get them unsettled because they're getting way too spiritual. They're getting way too much light in them. So whether it's the Cheyenne, Navajo, Blackfoot, endless amounts of the Cherokee, all of those tribes all work together and we're bringing so much light into their realities. The bad guys want to do something about it. That's exactly what you're just talking about. And so the migration process and preserving beings that had more being in them. So don't get too hung up on there was giants and nymphs and fairies all participating to each other. It was a collective that could communicate with each other. So imagine explaining to someone now at the grocery store, I was talking to the frog king of the pond down the street, and he said he's upset with us polluting the pond. Well, those you could do that back then, and that's why they migrated over to North America.
The Welsh?
Yeah, absolutely. So I made light of water beings and land beings interacting with each other, and it was a tremendous. Why do you think we look at Scotland now that you can grow so much incredible food when the weather isn't even nice? How does that happen?
Right.
Because the energetics are there. There's just a thinner layer of the higher dimensional realities there. It's just easier to get to. We can see mermaids. Many people can't. Well, is it because the region I'm in, or is it because I'm acceptance of the dimensional capability that we have? So I'll go on this all day, but that's one way to look at it.
Okay. And it's interesting, in Scotland and Ireland, everybody thinks about the redheads, you know, people with red hair and blue eyes. And
yes.
One thing I have learned is that the actual highest concentration of redheads is in Russia. And so I started to think about this. They migrate. People migrate all the time. They've been migrating for thousands of years, right? And so there are red-haired mummies in Central Asia with fragments of tartan plaid survive somehow. And supposedly there is a red-haired giant in Kandahar. And I've even heard it said, I don't know if it's accurate, that King David and Genghis Khan may have been redheads. So that is all true. So it intrigued me because of some things that Asha and Jared Rand had said. So a couple of years ago, Asha had asked you about being Yashugi Khan, the father of Genghis Khan.
That's correct.
And Jared Rand. Now, Jared, this has been probably a year ago. Jared Rand talked a lot about the Mongols.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be very respectful of everyone, regardless of where they are in their journey. But Jared Rand has made some of the following statements: that it was the Mongols who took over the world and controlled the world, and that Yeshua was a Mongol, and that what you refer to as the Good Book was actually the diary of Yashugi Khan. That they were nomads, so they traveled all the time, and he wrote down the stories of his travels, and that later became the Good Book. So is that accurate as well?
Most of that is very accurate. We're leaving one thing out. I'm doing the exact same work as I did then as now. You can write down every experience you've ever had. You can record you can put every book on your library. You can put everything in the bucket of information and dialogue of all the relationships and religions and belief systems. You're going to end up at the same place. It's the same work I'm doing now. Where are you going to end up?
Right. Right back here.
you're going to be right back looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
It's the same work. We're just using different tools. It's the same thing.
Yeah. So this matter of the red hair and the blue eyes, I've read that that's the rarest combination on Earth. Is there something about those genetics or epigenetics that is unique?
Yeah, look, what's more interesting is look at their names. They usually get titles, even though it looks like a very simple family, a very normal family. Look at their titles. So I would know, here's one. There is a very rich red-haired person. I can't say their name. I didn't get permission. But it will have a one word. I'll get caught on that one. I don't want to do it because everyone's going to start looking them up and they have presents on there. But they'll look. I want to take care of. A rumor has it I'm a little popular. So I got to be careful what I say. But anyway, when you say a name and you say the first name and the last name, put them together and then say them backwards. So say the last name first and the first name back. And you'll see the backbone of what that individual is going to do. Now, is it exclusive to red-haired people with green eyes? No. Is it exclusive to red-haired people with blue eyes, brown eyes? No. But epigenetically, they'll have more capability in some way, shape, or form in most cases. Blonde-haired people with blue eyes have more capability and weaker capability in many cases. Black people, darker-skinned people are going to feel differently than light-skinned people. They're going to know a different avenue, vice versa. We're all a little different, but we all have unbelievable skills. We just have to understand which one that's going to be. If we're studying epigenetics only, the spirit knows everything. Source knows everything. Mm-hmm. So it's just whether or not you can sort it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry to be so long-winded. Any other questions?
No, thank you for helping me sort it out.
Have fun with it. It's really fun. So you're going to marry a red-haired man?
No.
Okay, so there's a chance for me. Thanks. Okay.
I wasn't where I was going, but All right. Thank you. Beautiful day to you.
Beautiful, beautifulness to you. That was fun. Really fun. Okay. As usual, I've lost track where I'm at. Let's see. We did. That was Karen from Georgia. So let's do Michael from, forgive me if it's not Michelle, from India on line four. Help to find his heart center. Are you there, India? Line four, I believe, BBS. Sorry if I screwed that up.
Hey. Q?
Is this Michael?
Hello?
Michelle?
Yeah, is it you?
Yes, this is me.
Again, it's Michael.
Loud and clear. You sound good today. How are we doing?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Beautifulness to you.
How are
help
you doing?
To find your heart center. Tell us about this. Where did it go? Where did it go?
I have no idea where it went. No, and how do you say that?
Should you just get a gun and call it a day?
This? No.
No?
How
you
to
want to stick around a little bit longer, huh?
The childlike innocence is a little bit missing sometimes. Are you hearing me?
I am perfect. There is a delay for me, but I understand it. I'm used to walking and using walkie-talkies. Go ahead. Please keep going.
Yeah. So to be in a little bit deep energy seems to be quite going for quite well. It's more not so easy to be totally inspired and forget about everything and go with the heart. And
give us an example that can be normal for people. How do we get out of our heart center? Give us real quickly, if you don't mind. And it doesn't have to be personal. It can just be a general aspect.
How to get out of the heart center? To get out of the heart center would be it's either from programs inside or from attacks from the outside. I would say, in my case. So it is just the programming that kicks in and then makes life serious, isn't it? And that the child is a little bit gone, and the inspiration is harder to reach. The mental field is strong.
Can I ask you a question?
A bit in that direction. Yeah, sure.
Is it because of our biosphere? Our social biosphere, how we participate with other people, or is it us that is creating this?
Probably it is me that is creating it. It is strange. It seems like there is a fear, or there is a blockage that keeps me away from that which is
perfect. Perfect answer and perfect question. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. That is the best teaching we're going to have today, I would say. It's me that's doing it. So as we move on to the next caller, if we command our spirits to take thoughts out of our heads and then start over, I command my spirit to increase my life force energy and then start over, is all we're talking about here. So if we could stop thinking, things go well. I am going to go to, I've got limited time. Stay in there, Laura. I might get to you. I think so. Charlene from Maryland on line two wants to know if they are creating timelines or are they being created for them? Charlene on line two. I have to wait. She stopped. Okay. So Charlene went off. So let's do Laura from Texas on line five. Sorry, we didn't get to you, Charlene. Laura from Texas on line five. Believe they were abducted during a past life regression. Laura, are you there on line five?
I am. My great love to you, Q.
My great love to you. I wish I had your accent.
Oh, thanks. When I was younger, we went and had a past life regression. And I was the only one who became a man 2,000 years ago. And I was afraid at that time I had hurt you. So I was apprehensive about calling you back. but since then, from all your teachings, I've learned that I could have had an abduction during the hypnosis. And I was curious about that. Also, when I was maybe five-ish, I remember waking up and there were people inside giant tubes all around me. And that's all I can remember. But it was so clear, and I'm curious about that.
Okay, coming up on time, so I got to get some quality information on you. Okay, so anyway, you're in the breeder program, are the tubes. So that's how they would breed us and or do succession of genetics in the breeding program. There's very, very, very few times I've heard anybody being hypnotized, they didn't get abducted. So the definition of abductions is really what we could talk about, because it's very easy to get abducted in your thoughts. So if you're watching, Sports Center every day, you could be abduction. You could be abducted. If you're going to watch the television all day long, I probably shouldn't have taken a pot shot at them. But if you're going to go outside yourself and let something consume you, hypnosis, there's no way I can see the potential for abduct. It's just whether or not you're going to hold ground and get yourself back in you. Any other questions?
Well, you said that if our parents were in the Air Force, that we could have been abducted then too. And my dad was in the Army Air Corps years ago.
Yeah, so I'm doing my best to not give you too much information over the radio out of respect for you, but you already know the answer.
Yeah. Okay. I was afraid of that.
So basically, I would say the prominent times that the programs are working for children who had parents in the military. The CIA was very good. That's not the title I would give them, though, but just for these, you don't know their actual title. So if I was going to give the CIA their, if I'm going to give you a target of the aliens that are working within the CIA, they made their own subset of compartments, but participated in your healthcare systems, recruiting systems, all of it from 1940 to I'd probably say they get exposed by 1980, probably 88, 89. Most of those programs got too much visibility. So anyone that was born between those two dates has at least knows someone that got mind controlled from the unfortunately, hidden within the layers of the U.S. military and others, unfortunately. Here's how you can prove that I'm right. I'm on the radio saying it. So in most cases, you would take this person talking about it and take them in. So that's your proof that we've cleaned it up a lot. And I'm able to talk about it for you. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you very much. Love you very much. Okay, let's see if we can get line six on here. I think I got time for one more. Nadini from India on line six, fear aspect. Nadini, are you there? Nadini.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes, I got lucky.
Ah, you're so awesome. Thank you for calling in again. What can I help you with?
Yes. Well, today I have a little bit of something, so I just maybe point it out. Last week. So I think that it's a few things, like whenever I receive a phone call, it really makes me so nervous and fearful. And some kind of memory recording of past or the fear of death or dying. And mostly nowadays I see that whenever there are men or women, certain type of people that walk in front of me, without saying anything, my whole body started to shiver, and I kind of didn't understand why it is happening like that to me.
Yeah, so outstanding job. This really, really important topic. Thank you so much. So notice how sensitive you're getting.
Yeah.
Really sensitive. And that is some of the boundaries I'm encouraging everybody to adopt. Is it doesn't feel good to do certain things. As you said, pick up a phone call. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
And most of the calls are somebody asking something from me. Do you ever get a phone call where somebody's not asking you for something? Text messages, emails. This is really a wild place because we're getting so sensitive. We'll sort it out. We're making ourselves sick through emotions if we don't pick. So as an example, I know many people who threw their phones away. Don't have telecommunications, do not have internet, don't have a mailbox, because it just felt so awful for them. Now, how would we communicate then? Would we just do it through our hearts?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we got something here. Any other questions? You did very well. It's an outstanding question because you're proving that your evolution for yourself is, this feels really weird all of a sudden. And look at the self-work you've done. So when you command your spirit to increase your life force energy, it really, really will come in. And the spirit does not have a telephone. Is that okay to say?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It just feels information and observes it and experiences it and keeps moving on. Our relationships are getting very, very exposed. Is that fair to say? I feel that with you. These relationships you're participating with are turning out different than you expected. Is that fair?
Yes, yes.
Be brave, dear one. Be brave and love yourself. That's all we can do is love ourselves. You are pure goddess of love. And if you get anything less, then do something different, please. Is that okay? I love you very much. I'm going to have to call it a day and give respect to the next show. My great love to you. My great love to you. Never stop calling. I love you. I love you. Thank you for the call. And thank you, BBS Radio, for a beautiful show today and for the people.space and the PRQ team. I love you. Love you very much. Let's have a beautiful day, everyone. Beautiful, beautifulness to you. I'll see you in a couple hours on this crazy girl show, Unstoppable Love. Good day.